1 and verse 10. How many cases are there in Greek?
Eight
cases. Can anyone name the eight cases? Nominative.
Nominative,
genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, vocative. All right. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. So you can say that just like that. One of these days you'll do it.
We'll get there.
You'll get there. All right. What does aorist tense mean, Brother Roger?
It's a condition of time.
Well, yes. It is a punctiliar action in time. What is the Greek term for tense in Greek? What's the Greek term for tense? It's in my grammar that I wrote. You remember that? It's chronos. And chronos means what?
Time.
Okay. Time. So, that was a little bit of review. Parakalo. See? Peri. Tuimu. Teknu. Hon. Ek. Nesa. En. Tois. Desmois. Onesimon. I appeal, I beseech, I beg you concerning the child of me, my child, okay, my child, tu emu teknu. Look at all that's in what case?
Genitive
case. Genitive case is a case of what? Possession. All right. I beg you, and what kind of action do we have here, Cindy? Let's conjugate present indicative active. O ase omenete usia. Okay. What kind of action, Cindy? First person singular, present indicative active. So that is continuous action. Present tense. It's going on right now. He said, I beg you, and I continue to beg you concerning the child belonging to me, whom I begat, whom I generated. Look at that word. It comes from Janao there. The word Genesis comes from that. What is the word Genesis in Hebrew, Pamela? Barsheath. All right, you're real good there. You got that. And here is a Greek word for Genesis. Where do we get the names of the Bible in the Old Testament? From what language?
Greek.
All right, that's where they name them from Greek. Whom I begat in chains, and I was chained. In chains, plural. And that's what? What case is that in? Do you know there, Jeff?
Nope.
That's locative. In means locative. All right. In bonds or in chains. Onesimus. Now, Onesimus means what? Onesimus.
Useful.
Beneficial. Fruitful. And Paul is going to make a play on words concerning this in just a little while. We'll see this. Now, Onesimus was Philemon's runaway slave. And when we began this study, we went back in the Old Testament and the book of Numbers, and we saw how they were supposed to treat it. You were supposed to feed them, weren't you? Supposed to feed them. All right? Okay, ton pote, sui, akreston, nini, de, and then we have kai there. That's a cumulative particle, but it's actually in parenthesis, but it's understood. Sui, kai, emui, ukreston. The one to you useless. Look at that word. He's making a play. Now, he's using a synonym and an antonym here. A synonym and an antonym. The one to you that was useless, akreston. Akreston means totally useless. No good. Unfruitful. One to you that was worthless to you, useless, vanity, now, Here we have a little adverb of time, nini. But, and then we have the word kai there, and this word kai here is a cumulative particle, is not a conjunction. This here means both, yes, okay, to you and to me. Sui kai imui. That means that but now to you and to me he is eucharistōn. Not, here we have good gift, useful, well, it means to do good, okay, eucharistōn. So he uses a synonym and an antonym. You see that?
Yeah.
He opposes these two things. He was useless, now he's useful. Useless, and useful. Antonyms. Onesimus had formerly betrayed even his own name, which meant sincerity, useful, and fruitful, and Paul plays on these two antonyms, these opposites. Okay, 12. 1 and 12. Hon anep. Si, auton, tut, esten, ta, emma, splagna. Now the word splagna there means what? It means your guts. That gut feeling, you've heard of a gut feeling? Have you ever had somebody very important to you and you heard, saw them get hurt? And in the army you did that a lot. Brother Roger, your guts would twist up, wouldn't they? You see somebody just blown apart or hurt real bad. You can go by in an accident. This example here that I used for this, when I think of this word, I think of an incident that happened in my life probably be 45 years ago at least. I was going out, I was teaching this preacher how to go door to door, and we were going in doing a bus ministry. And my little boy came up, my oldest boy, and he was riding his bike up and down the street. And I told him, be careful, Jimmy, be careful. We're going to go now, and you be careful riding up and down the street. We got in the car, and we went down the street, and I can see it just like it was yesterday. A man had backed out and run over this boy on a bike. And I thought it was my son. Tears were just rolling down my eyes. And I went there, and it was a little boy, and he got killed.
Oh, man.
They run right over him. This guy came out of the driveway really fast, backwards, and run over this little kid. When I got up there, I saw it was one of my real good lifetime friends' children. But it was talk about bittersweet. I was so happy it wasn't my child, but I was so sad that it was his child. And my guts were just torn up. And you see this. This is what happens to you when you see this. And Paul uses this term several times. He uses it in 7. He uses it in 12. And he uses it in 20. He used this word 3 times. And his very bowels... When you get into a very, like killing somebody, sometimes your bowels, you will get diarrhea. This happens when you kill somebody. You just become sick. And that's from all this word is from. This is a traumatic experience. This word means a traumatic experience, this splagna. Whom I sent back. Now, it's first person singular, first aorist, indicative active, but it has a Hebrew idea to this, the future perfect. The future perfect would be what, Brother Roger? Wow, consecutive perfect. I will have done this. I have sent back to you, or I will have sent him back to you. The Hebrew idea, future perfect. To you, him. Look at that word auton there. What case is that word auton in? Cindy, auton.
Accusative.
What? What'd you say?
Accusative.
This nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative. It is os, oo, oo, o, on, e. On. Auton. Now, this is an accusative singular masculine third-person pronoun. Okay? I will have sent him back to you. When you get this letter, you're going to have him in your hands. He's back in your hands. Your runaway is back in your hands and in your possession. Now he's going to begin to give extreme detailed instructions for him. Him. This, or for this, he is my bowels. He is the object of my desire. He is someone that I dearly love. I'm sending this person that I dearly love, that absolutely he's like my own child to you. He is my close soulmate. He's like my own son in the flesh, and Paul's children in the flesh had disowned him, hadn't he? So God gave him many more, and this is one of them. But he loved them all so close with affection. 1 and 13. Hon, ego, ebulomein. Pros, emapton, katakein, hina, hiper, su, moi, dikone, en tois, desmois, tu, euangeliou. Now this person that he sent back is in the accusative case because he's receiving action. He was sent. Okay? Now we have an accusative singular masculine relative pronoun right here, home. That's it. Ego. That's nominative singular masculine first person pronoun. See that, ego? What word in English do you think we get from this? Ego. All right, ego, I. Whom I kept on wishing. Look at that word. Now tell me about this word here, Cindy. Ebolomein. Tell me about the whole, conjugate this for me. Intensely down to the last little itsy bitsy bit.
First person singular imperfect middle indicative.
Okay. First person singular. Yeah. Imperfect tense. And what does the indicative mode say? As a statement of fact. Okay, what about middle voice? It is for myself. It comes from myself. And it's in perfect sense. He said, I kept on wishing. I kept on wishing for myself, toward myself. I kept on wishing. Bulame. That's where it comes from. And then katekane. Okay, let's look at this one here. Let's conjugate this present indicative active. We've got a lot of present indicative active verbs in here, don't we? This one here is... present indicative active. It's o, ace, a, omen, eti, usi, and ain is present infinitive active in it. Present infinitive active. Whom I kept on wishing toward myself. Now look at this accusative singular masculine reflects the pronominal adjective, okay? I kept on wishing for myself. And then it says to retain. And that word comes from kata and echo. Kata and echo. To hold down. I wanted to keep him. I wanted to hold him down, literally what it says here. To hold down, to keep him. In order that, on behalf of you to me. And then we have the word diakone, diakone. Look at that eta on the end of that verb here. Look at the eta on the end of the verb. What's it got over it and what's it got under it, Cindy?
It's got that
circumflex and a what?
And that other thing.
A iota subscript. When you see the old scrub script, Brother Roger, what do you see sometimes?
I don't know.
That is in the subjunctive mode. The subjunctive mode. The iota scrub script is an indicator that this may be in the subjunctive mode. It's got a circumflex and an iota subscript underneath it. Do you like it that I declined this just a little bit more for you guys? I haven't done this in the past, but you guys and girls are getting up into the more advanced reading and research, so we're doing a little of this grammar. You like that, Jeff?
I love it.
All right. Diakone. What does diakone mean, Cindy?
To preach to or minister to. Or
what's it literally mean?
Well, doesn't it have something to do with kaiosune? Does it have something
to
do with
that? No, this is diakone. We got a word deacon from
to
this.
Service. Use your service.
It means to stir up dust, to get with it. To stir up dust and to get with it, okay? It means to do something, to be active. That he might stir up a little dust, do service. And look at that word subjunctive mode there. This is what he wished, wasn't it? This is what we call the futuristic subjunctive, that he might have done this. Futuristic subjunctive. And later on he uses the word the optative mode. Also, the optative mode means a mode of hopeful affirmation. Subjunctive is a mode of doubtful affirmation, but we have a kind of a futuristic subjunctive here. In order that, on behalf of me, that he might minister, do service, stir up a little dust in the bonds or in my chains or in my imprisonment for the gospel. For the gospel. Euangelion. What's that euangelion mean there? Where would you describe the gospel in the Bible? What scriptures would absolutely describe what the gospel is? 1 Corinthians 15:1-5 there it says, and I tell you in the gospel which I preached to you beforehand, that what? That Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures. That he came according to the scriptures, that he died according to the scriptures, and that he was buried according to the scriptures, and that he was raised according to the scriptures, and he lived forevermore, and we have a whole lot of witnesses concerning that. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ came and died for us. That is the proscript of salvation. If any church preaches that, I don't care what they are, people can get saved. You know that? If a frog could croak that gospel, somebody could get saved. If a parrot could preach it, somebody could get saved. Because the Word of God does not go out of null and void, doesn't it? The gospel. The gospel. Preach the gospel. How do you build churches? By preaching the gospel. That's how you build churches. And then we have the word charis. Charis. Dei. Tais. Seis. Nomes. Udain. Ethelesa. Poieson. Hina. Me, hos kata anagkein to agathon si a ala kata ekousion. Hekousion. That's got a rough breather on it now. Say hekousion. That starts with an H. All right, now, outside of, this word here, it's an adverb of place. Outside of, or without, but without your own knowledge, literally what it says, knowledge or opinion, or say-so. Now, could you call somebody up on the telephone and say and ask them a question back then? They didn't have any telephones yet. The best thing you could do is a postman, which you could send a letter with somebody and the runner would run for, they had the Roman road back in, remember? And they could run and bring you back messages back and forth. Now, who was Paul's runner? Who was Paul's runner in this letter? Onesimus. Yeah. He's sending him back to his master, not as a slave, but now as a fellow man, a fellow human being. A fellow human being. Before he was an object, a possession. Now he becomes a human being. The Bible gives great liberty to women. I want you to understand that in the New Testament. Women, for so many thousands of years, have been nothing but objects, a possession. in the New Testament, it puts them on equal grounds with men as far as salvation goes. In the home, a wife is supposed to answer to her husband, obey her husband. But a woman that's not married, you know who she obeys?
God.
Jesus. That's all. She doesn't have a master. She doesn't have to do that. She doesn't have to be answered to somebody. She can be free. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. There's good stuff in it. Mm-hmm. Be free. And 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, could you do that? In the Middle East, could you do that today?
No, you couldn't do it.
Nope.
50 years ago.
No.
But you know what? Now we're taking it to the other extreme now.
Yes, it's going to the other extreme now.
That's because we're letting it take it
to others. Yeah. To the other extreme. To their own undoing. Mm-hmm. Own knowledge, understanding. That's what it is. Now Onesimus becomes a free man. Not yet. Exactly. Paul is begging Philemon to turn him loose. To let him be a human being. Among the American Indian people, every nation, Cherokee, Chickasaw, Choctaw, Ojibwe, Lakota, Nakota, Dakota, all of these names for the nations, of the Indian nations, they all mean one thing, human beings. Human beings. You're one of the human beings. One of the human beings. A human being. A human being is created free with volition and freedom. And they carried that out extremely well. Your own opinion, nothing I was willing, look at this word now, ethelesa. Cindy, tell me a little bit about that, conjugate that verb for me.
First person singular, first aorist, active, indicative.
All right, first aorist, indicative, active. First person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. First aorist is what? Very punctiliar action, sharp knife blade action. Indicative mode means what, Roger?
A statement of fact.
How about active voice?
It's happening.
He's a doing it, okay? Nothing I was willing. Now look at that word, uthane. Uthane. Say that word, uthane. Now, Cindy, what does that come from, uthane? It's a conjugation of three words.
Ook.
Ook. Yeah, ook, which means what? That's a adverb of negation.
Not.
Okay, day is what? That's a whack. Day is a whack. A weak adversative conjunctive particle, page 85, okay? You can write all this down. Ook is page 294 if you want to write it down there. Okay, and then hina means what? Hina dio tria, quattro. Hina dio tria quattro pente. In Greek, that's a numeral, a number. It's one. Moreover, not one thing. Look at that. Moreover, not one thing. I was willing, punctiliar knife blade action, to do. Now look at this word. Poi eise. That's first aorist. Infinitive active. I was willing to do. Punctiliar action again. In order that, not. This here's a particle of negation, page 268. May. Hos, that's an adverb or particle there, page 444. According to, a preposition. Necessity. That's compulsion. I wouldn't do this by necessity, by compulsion. I'm not giving you an order, he said. The good of you. Now look at this. A. That A there is third person singular, present subjunctive active from Amy. That you, it might be, look at that. Here we have volition, don't we, Roger? Remember, every time you see subjunctive, or every time you see middle voice, it is volition. I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you make the call. I'm going to let you make the decision. And then we have a strong adversative conjunction, Allah. But, kata ekousion. Kata ekousion. According to volition. Free will.
Okay, me and uk. Which one's the adverb?
Me is a particle of negation.
A particle.
Uh-huh. Uk is an adverb of negation. May, a particle of negation, page 268. Uk is an adverb of negation, 204, I think it is, 209, 208. As according to necessity. I'm not going to force you to do anything. I'm not going to force you to do any good deed. Look at that word, agathon. What kind of good is that, Cindy?
Godly good.
That's spiritual good. Now, what is the other good?
Kalon.
Or kalos. Kalon, in this case, kalos, and that's a nominative singular. Okay. Good. Spiritually good work. Here we have an articular adjective, like an article. The good. You might be. I'm not going to force you to do any good deeds. I'm going to let you do it. Then we get our word taxi. Taxi. What's taxi mean? What is a taxi? You know anything about taxis, Pamela?
A taxi.
A taxi. What is a taxi? You call a taxi and hope they get there what? Quick. Taxi means quick. Comes right out of Greek. Taxi. Toxa. That's a rare adverb. Toxa, gar, dia, tuto, ekoriste. Pros, horon, hina, ionion, auton, apekes. For quickly, soon, or perhaps, because it's may or may not be, you know, happen. For quickly soon, by the means of this what?
The letter.
Admonition. He departed. He was caused to depart. Look at that. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative, passive. He was caused to depart. It's a passive voice, so he was caused to depart. For an hour. For a horon, for an hour. We had a word hour right there. How do you spell hour in English?
H-O-U-R.
Guess what it is? H-O-R-A-N. This is where our English word hour comes from right there. Horon, hour. In order that, eternally forever. Eternally. Ages upon ages, always. Him. And look at this. Let's conjugate that one there, Roger.
The you may receive back. Is that?
Okay, conjugate. Yeah, a pay case.
Second person singular present, active subject.
All right, second person singular present, subjunctive active. What does this tell us? Oh, it's made from apo and echoes, doesn't it? Apo means what? A raphum, and echo means what? To have or hold. In other words, I'm going to send him back in a way to you so you can hold him, that you may receive back. May receive back. Subjunctive mode. It's all up to you, Philemon. See that? That's a subjunctive mode. These hyper-Calvinists hate that subjunctive, if they even know what it is. Might want to ignore it. That you may receive back from the world. These words of Paul would bring out the best intentions in Philemon, he hoped. Philemon, he will never run away from you again. He sent back for good. He's not going to run and off and abandon and hide out anymore. Ukete. That's verse number 16. Hos dulon ala hepeter dulon adelphon agapeton malista emoi poso de malan sui kai in sarki kai in kiryu. Uk ete. Uk is an adverb of negation, isn't it? Ete is what? It's got a little idea of time to linger. No longer. No longer. Hos as a slave. This is somebody that's bond. This is Paul called himself a slave, didn't he? He was a slave to Christ only, wasn't he? And now Paul wants to get this idea across and this point across to Philemon. Fella, I own you because I bought your soul by preaching to you the gospel, and you owe me your life, your whole soul. Now I want you to understand this. This fella right here, he is mine too. You owe your life to me, you own your soul to me, and so does Onesimus. Both of you are obligated to me. No longer as a slave, but on behalf of a slave brother. Look at that. A brother now. Adelphon. What does Adelphon mean, Marilyn? Adelphos.
Out of the same womb.
From the same womb. In other words, we're born from the same God. We are equal heirs. And beloved. Agapeton. That comes from what? Agapeo, agapete. Agapeo, I love you, my beloved. And he says here, my beloved, my one that I'll give my life for. Yeah. Malista, especially, most of all, to me. Poso, how much, by so much, and more to you both. Here we have a cumulative particle again, Kai. In flesh and in the Lord. Now he's come back to you. You own him, but you're owned by the same master. You both now have the same master, which is Jesus. Before you didn't have a master, Philemon, but now you do. And now I send your equal brother from the same womb to you. 1 and 17. Eun me. Ekes. Koneon. Pros. Labu, auton, hos, and me. Now here we have, what is this conditional particle, the first thing that we have there, Cindy? What kind of conditional particle is that?
First class conditional
particle, which
it is fulfilled.
What?
It means that it is fulfilled.
It's fulfilled. It's a fact. Okay. Now what makes it that way? What makes this a first class instead of a second and third and fourth class conditional?
As it says right there, first class conditional.
Okay, what makes it that way? What part of this verse makes it a first-class conditional particle? You remember? It's a mode. It's a simple little mode that rules this particle, this condition. Eun me ekes. Conjugate a case for me, Cindy. What part of that verb makes this a first-class conditional?
It must be
the indicative mode.
Indicative,
the indicative mode. That's what does it. Okay. Okay, a partner in common. Something in common. We get a word common out of this. We do together. Common. A partner. Since, therefore, me, you have a partner in common. You receive for yourself. Look at that. You receive for yourself. Pros means forward, and lambano means to receive. Receive for yourself, and look at this. Conjugate that one for me there, Jeff.
Second person singular, second aorist, middle Imperfect.
Imperative.
Imperative, sorry.
Imperative mode is a what? A what? A command.
Command.
Middle voice. Even though it's a command, you will do it for yourself. Okay? And then what else? It's second aorist, which is a durative linear point of time, chronos, of action. It is punctiliar, but it's got a little more duration to it. Since, therefore, me, you, a partner, you receive for yourself him. Okay, decline that word there, altone, Cindy.
Third person pronoun.
Third person pronoun.
Accusative singular masculine.
Accusative singular masculine, all right, because he's getting action put at him. As me, you receive him as me. Now, don't you treat Onesimus any different than if you saw my face in his face. Because Onesimus is now your equal and heir in Christ Jesus. Boy, what a statement. Verse number 18 now. We might be able to finish this little book tonight if we move along here a little bit. A, de, t, edication. C, a, aphile, tuto, emoi, eloga. And since anything, look at that, adikeson. Dikio means to judge, doesn't it? And also we get a word dikaiosune from that, which means to judge righteous, to make right.
So anytime it's since, or a, has to be indicative mode?
It has to be indicative mode. The indicative mode rules that class, that conditional.
Right.
So here we have first class conditional particle again. A condition determined as fulfilled. Since anything, he wronged you. Now he's making a statement. He did it. He did this. He did it. He wronged you. He stole from you. Now I'm going to give him back. But you don't take him back. You give himself to, you give him to himself. Because now he's equal with you. Since anything he wronged you, or he owes, ophile, he owes you. Look at that. He owes this thing to me. You put it on my account, or you calculate. You put it on my ledger, my bill. Second person singular, present imperative active. That's a flat statement of fact, isn't it? Paul gives this as a promissory note. I've named this letter to Philemon a promissory note. I owe you. He said, I owe you. Anything he owes you, I owe you. Okay, now Philemon owed his own soul to Paul, because Paul led him to the Lord. Ego Paulos egrapsa. Te eme kare. Ego apotiso. Hina me lego. Sui hote kai siaton moe prosophiles. There's no ice and ace, remember? I, Paul, I wrote, with my own hand. This is a promissory note. This is a legal promissory ledger. Paul, myself, I wrote in my own hand. Now, Paul evidently shook bad like me, or did something. Of course, getting hit in the head with rocks is not good for you. I've been stomped and beat up and run over and everything else. My neck's been broke twice, and I'm shaking really bad, mainly because of that arsenic and mercury that was given to me, along with all these other things. But Paul had trouble writing. I have trouble writing now because of all this. But he did this for it. He wrote this letter himself. How would you like to have this letter in Paul's writing?
Now, he wrote the whole letter, or
he
just
wrote
that
the letter
portion of it? I thought he just wrote that last portion of it. That's why I'm asking the question is, didn't he?
He had a scribe to write most of his letters.
But
he says right here, I'm writing this with my own hand. I'm writing this to you in my own hand. It's a very short letter, isn't it? Paul could have written the whole thing. But we know he signed it. He wrote it. He said, I wrote it with my own hand. I'm giving you my signature. What does your signature say when you sign a piece of paper, Pamela? You're giving your word, and your onoma, that's name. When you write your name down, that you're giving your name is your legal statement. It's like signing a court document with your name. Your name is you. When you put your name down on something, it's done. When you sign a legal document, it's done. I, Paul, I wrote this with my hand, and I will pay back. Apotino. I will pay back. Look at this. First person singular future, indicative active. I will flatly pay back, in order that not I say to you that indeed yourself to me you owe besides. Pros apheles. You have a debt. You have a debt to me. But I'm telling you that this man now is free, and I write anything. Now, what did he do? What wrong did he do to Philemon? He stole himself and run away with it. We had two very important people in the early American history that were both slaves, and both of them were white. Name them. One of them ran away. Benjamin Franklin was a slave, and he ran off. He was an indentured slave, and he ran off. Okay, who was the other one that became president? Andrew Johnson. He was a slave also, former slave. He ran off. He didn't run off. He worked his debt. Benjamin Franklin ran away. Andrew Johnson paid his debt so he could be free. He was an indentured slave. To you that indeed yourself to me you owe besides. 20. Nay. Adelphi. Ego. Si. Onamain. En. Kario. Kirio. Ana Pason. Mu. Ta. Splagna. En. Christo. Yes. Nay in Greek means yes. Yeas and nays in English, but here we have nay meaning yes, a particle of affirmation. It's like amen, so to speak. Yes, brother. Okay, let's conjugate a brother. Adelphos, Adelphu, Adelphu, Adelpho, 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 Adelphon, Adelphae. Okay? You're getting really good at it, aren't you guys? Os, o-o-o-one. Os, o-o-o-one. And this is a. And that is what, Cindy? The case of what? Address, the vocative. The case of address. The vocative singular masculine.
Vocative, but I couldn't think what it meant.
Okay, vocative is a case of address.
Yeah.
You enjoying this, Cindy? A little deeper grammar? Making you think too much?
Yeah.
I had a guy come to my class one time, and he said, "You make my brain hurt when I leave your class." I don't mean to make your brain hurt, but I do want to make you think. Yes, brother, I, ego, you. I of you. Look at this. Cindy, conjugate that verb there, on the main. Optative,
what's
middle voice. Optative. The optative mode means what? The mode of what? Of hopeful affirmation.
Oh, yeah.
And we have middle voice. And we have the whole mode of hopeful affirmation, which is a very rare mode in Greek. That I may profit. That I may help. I may help you. First person singular, second aorist. I may help you for myself. What does that optative mode mean here, or Jeff? What kind of an idea do you think Paul's got in his head?
I think he's just including himself in the equation.
He's hoping that Philemon will follow his orders. But Philemon doesn't have to, does he?
No.
He doesn't have to. If Philemon does this, he will do it by what?
Volition.
Personal volition and middle voice. In the Lord. I may help you in the Lord. I'm going to make you better in the Lord. I'm going to make you better. I'm going to make you greater. Because now you're going to really put your money where your mouth is. Put your mouth where your money is. It's going to cost you for this transaction with the Lord. You're going to turn this man loose, which is worth how much?
Year's wages.
How much?
Like a year's,
year's wages. He's worth that much, now he's going to give it away. A year's wages. What's a year's wages today, approximately?
35.
Mine would be like $40, you know. $40 is a mule. Years, what, 40,000, 50,000, 67? Yeah, somewhere around there. Between 40 and 80,000, okay? In the Lord. And then let's look at this little thing here. Now we have second person singular first aorist, imperative active. Now we still are carrying over something. Ana pousan, ana pao. Here, that you may refresh. You refresh, or you may refresh, because we got all this middle voice and we have optative mode over here, so we have to carry that over into this one, even though it's aorist tense and imperative. Of me, the dear ones. Again, he uses this term, doesn't he? My guts, my bowels. Again, here we have it again. My dear ones. Dear is my own flesh. He used this word three times, 7, 12, and 20. In Christ. In Christ. We are brothers in Christ. We are sisters in Christ. We are owned by the same person. We are not our own. We do not belong to ourselves. 21. Pepothos.
Te.
Hipakoe. Su. Egrapsa. Sui. Edos. Hote. Kai. Hiper. Ha. Lego. Poieses. Look at this word. This is, let's conjugate and decline this rascal. The first one there. Pampoethos. Can you do that yet, Jeff?
Second person.
Second perfect.
Second perfect. Active.
Participle. That's one of them continuing things, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, now let's say what. Now let's conjugate it. Decline it.
Nominative, singular, masculine.
Nominative, singular, masculine, second perfect, participle, active. Having been persuaded in the obedience of you. That word, hipo and akuoe. You know, a long time ago, about 1961, I think it was, a horse liked to stomp me to death. And he struck at me with his mouth and bit at me and cut my ear in two. And he cracked my skull and gave me a basal fracture, which is usually fatal. But it cut and severed the optic nerve in my right ear. I went deaf in that ear. I can hear a little bit out of it now, but it severed the optic nerve at that time. And that word there is where we get optic nerve right there. It comes from hipo akuo, optic nerve. I didn't say optic nerve. That's your eyes. It's optic. Okay? Hipakuo. You obey and hear under is what it says. You hear under. Of you, I wrote. Look at that word, igrapsa. Igrapsa. First person singular, first aorist, indicative, active. That I wrote to you, having known that indeed the particle of affirmation, that's just like amen there, indeed. On behalf or beyond, that is, above, what things I say you shall do. You shall do. And here again, he uses the Hebrew idea of the future perfect. You shall have done. While consecutive perfect. You shall have done. 22. Verse number 22. Hama de kai etoimase moi zenion el piso gar hote dia ton pros yukon himon karis the somai. Amen. You guys are getting really good at pronouncing this. I give you A plus. At some time in the past, we have an idea or an adverb of time. At some time in the past, and at some time in the past also. You prepare. You prepare for me lodging. Okay? At some time, you prepare for me lodging. He said, I hope to come to you one of these days. I hope. El piso. First person singular, present indicative active. I hope. I keep on hoping for that through. That through, by the agency of the prayers of you. What does the word prayers mean there? That means to bend the knee toward and to literally prostrate yourself toward God. Through the prayers of you, you all actually. See there, he must have been from Oklahoma. You all. I shall have given. Look at this. I shall have been given to you. I'm going to become a slave to you. I'm going to be given to you. I'm going to be your servant. Kariste somai. I shall have been given to you. First person singular future, indicative passive voice. To you all. 123 now. You didn't think we could do this. We haven't done it yet. But we're working on Cindy. Do this book in three hours, see? As pazete. Si Epaphras. Ho. Sin I. Aik malotes. Mu. En Christo. Jesu. He greets you, Epaphras. What is Epaphras? He was a Colossian preacher who started the work in Colossae and Hierapolis and Laodicea, and then came to Rome. He said, he greets you, Epaphras. Epaphras means devoted. He's a devoted character. The fellow captive, fellow prisoner, Romans 16 and 7 and Colossians 4 and 10, we hear more about him. The fellow captive and prisoner of me in Christ Jesus. My fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. 124. Now we have Paul mentioning a guy that he didn't like before. John Mark. What about John Mark? What was John Mark? What kind of an ID? What kind of a mindset did he have there, Brother Roger?
He didn't like the fact that the Gentiles were getting converted.
That Gentiles were grafted into the promises of God, and he didn't like it too much. He didn't like rubbing elbows with Gentiles or dogs. And so he finally left Paul, didn't he? And took off and went back to Jerusalem. Paul didn't like him from then on. But now he's useful to him again. He's made up somewhere or another. Mark. Marcos. Aristarchos. Demas. Lucas. Hoi. Sinergoi. Mu. All right. Mark. Marcos. Aristarchos. Aristarchos means best ruler. And then Demas. It is a shortened form of Demetrius. That means Jimmy or James or Jim. Okay, that's what Demas means. And it comes from Jacob also. And then Lucas. Lucas means what? Lucas is a what? It's a shortened form of what?
Lucifer.
Lucas comes from Luke. It's a shortened form of Lucifer, which means light carrier. The ones fellow workers belonging to me. Hmm. 125.
Here you go.
Let me
get it.
Here it is. Ha Christ tu Christ, kriu Jesus Christu, meta tu pneumaticos, emon. The grace of the Lord, the grace belonging to the Lord. Are we saved by what? Cindy, how are you saved?
By grace.
By grace. You have anything to do with it? nothing but responding. God, the Lord saves us all 100%. The grace belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ with the spirit of you all. So many people trying to believe in the Trinity try to make three gods. How many people are you?
One.
But you're made in God's triune image. Now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are distinct entities of the Godhead. Your soul, your spirit, and body are distinct entities of you, aren't they? Yes or no?
Yes.
God made you in His image. But so many people try to make three gods. We don't believe in three gods. Catholics believe in four gods. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Mary. You know, they accused me of that when I was in the Middle East. This guy come up to me, this Muslim, and he said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, do you believe in four gods? I said, no. I believe in one God. Ahat. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is three. Huh? What's it say?
One.
Now we see the Son. Did the Father ever do anything outside of the Son?
No.
Did the Holy Spirit ever do anything outside of the Father or the Son? When Jesus Christ tasted death on the cross of Calvary, the Father tasted death. The Father did not die. But he experienced it through His Son. When you slam your finger in the door, does your soul feel it? Does your spirit feel it? I mean, it's all over. When you get up in the middle of the night trying to find your way in the house, sleepwalking or whatever you're doing, and you break your toe, that affects all of you, doesn't it? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, it affects the wall, too.
Yeah. I was coming down the hallway twice lately. We got real big hallways in here. They're big hallways. But I had a brainy idea, and I put a bookcase in that hallway because we didn't have enough room in the books, in the rooms to put the bookcase. And I haven't learned that bookcase is there yet. Two times I've knocked my glasses off my head and almost knocked myself out, running around the corner real fast and running right square into that bookcase. Bam! And I pick my glasses off the floor after I figure out where I am, after I've knocked myself nearly out.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, our bodies, our souls and spirits are integrated, aren't they? Yet they're separate. They're integrated and they affect one another. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary. He died for all plan, and it was the plan of God, wasn't it? It was God's plan. Who created all the heavens and the earth? Colossians 1. Jesus Christ. But did the Father, was the Father part of it? Yes. I'm not a oneness either. You know, this heresy of oneness. But there is one God. That's what the Bible says. There's one God with His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He's not Father in the Old Testament and Son in the first part of the New Testament and the Holy Spirit from now on. Jesus said, you destroy this body in 3 days, I will raise it up. The Bible said the eternal spirit raised Him from the dead, and the Bible also said the Father raised Him from the dead. Who raised Him from the dead?
God.
The triune God. Okay? The triune God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with you, with the Spirit. Now, in the age that we live in today, we live in the church age. Okay? And the Spirit of God in a special form. Every person that's ever been saved is indwelt by the Spirit of God, isn't it? That's what marks you for the resurrection and for eternity. But on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The Holy Spirit in a special administrative form comforted and led the church in a special way, didn't it? And the church was already there. It didn't get started on the day of Pentecost. Just look at it. The first gift placed in the church was what, Cindy?
Apostles.
That happened when? Way back yonder in the ministry of Christ. Did the church have a treasure in it? Did the church baptize?
Mm-hmm.
And it did all this before the day of Pentecost, didn't it? It's there. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The church was empowered to carry out the gospel and the administration of God's kingdom in the world today. I hope you enjoyed this little book. Do you have any questions? Interrogatio. No? None? Mary Lynn, you have a question?
Yeah, I'd like to know
Well, you know what? It's too late now.
Why not?
It's too late now. Next week, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I may have to go back to Fish Lake Valley to meet with an electrical thing. But we're going to have the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to start studying the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark is the first book that I ever translated, the first gospel I ever translated, not the first book. That's the first gospel I ever translated. And it's full of action, Mark. And the guy that Paul didn't like, that's Mark that wrote the book. And Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark through whose eyes?
Peter's
eyes. All right. Go out and do something eternal then.
Right.
And Brother Jeff, dismiss us in prayer, please, brother.
Lord, we thank you for your eternal word, and that Brother Jim has been so faithful to bring the ancient language to bear in our modern culture. And we pray that your word would continue to go forth and that we would be your ambassadors. So I just ask for a special dispensation in each of our lives that we'll be able to carry this information forward. And you'll watch over each of us as we go home tonight.